Greetings tonight in Jesus' name. Good to have a gathering like this. A little bit of a different setting than what maybe we're normally used to, but we have tonight before us the question of alternative medicine, and maybe we could call it in its connection with the New Age movement or the occult, and whether there is a connection, or what about alternative medicine that seems to have flooded our country and our county here especially, many of the plain people. I have a newspaper article with me here that I picked up back in the 99, I think, that was run in the Kansas City Post, I believe it is, Kansas City Star, where a news reporter came into the area here and began to investigate some of the general health practices of the country. And he was not a Christian, but he just felt that people are being relieved of their money. And so he put four major articles in the newspaper in the Kansas City Star, and he sent me the first copy, and you have that laying on the table up here. Well, there's quite a history of this. In my own life, I, of course, come from a family that was deeply involved in these kind of alternative methods of medicine. My grandmother, I believe maybe my great-grandparents likewise, and brought it on down and practices on me as a young child, and I'll give you a little bit of more detail on that later on. Maybe we can just bow our heads for a word of prayer here as we begin. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity we have to speak the truth here tonight. We pray for that as we open thy word and historical accounts and the situation as we know it here today. We pray that we may be able to speak the truth, guide our tongue, our lips, that we may be able to do that and give glory unto our Creator, the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has set us free from sin and bondage. We are so grateful to be able to be here tonight and to have seen and learned and experienced the things which we have experienced. Thank you for all these people that have come, and I do pray that deep conviction can be brought upon us all by the Scripture, by the Word of God, to follow the ways of truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just wanted to explain, I have a chart here that I may just explain a little bit more tomorrow night, but I met an old lady back in 2002, I think it was. I believe she might have been 80 years old or so, up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, at a discernment seminar or meeting that I was at. And she had this on the board there, and I asked her what I could have a copy. And she said, I'll make you a copy and send it to me. And there are many, many things in there that I cannot explain or have not studied myself, but she has done a tremendous job in trying to link together all the things that have come upon the earth or in our time and our day. I would say most of these, a lot of these, have roots way back, but the terminology given them today are mostly maybe in the last 50, 60 years, that when you have the New World Order, as you know, our president presently ascribes to the New World Order, what that all means, the New Age or the Age of Aquarius or the Aquarian Age, which New Agers, as we call them, believe that they will eventually through reincarnation, dying and coming back and hoping to rise a bit higher every time they make a cycle, they hope to attain to some utopian position there. But the roots of this, of course, is all down here in Lucifer, Satan, naturalism, humanism, atheism, evolution, neo-paganism, and so on. But she did a tremendous job in seeing how all these things are linked together. And if you take the encyclopedias and of course the internet likewise, and really study those things out, you're going to find out that they indeed are linked together. But in the last years, you know, there are many new words that have come on the scene in health practices. You know, we hear things like the life force. We hear the words chi, C-H-I, or ki in some cases, spelled with a K. We hear about meridian lines of force or meridian lines that run through the body, that if you're able to bring them into balance, that the body will heal itself. We hear lots about energy. There's, and people, of course, are very familiar with the word energy and know what energy is about. We have energy in a light bulb here tonight, created by God in the earth, but we also have energy as it is known, of a power or an energy supernatural that is able to heal the body if a person adjusts it properly or sticks needles into it or does certain other things. The body, of course, will be healthy or will heal itself from sickness. It's interesting how far that has gone. Just to show you, there would be a couple of men in Holmes County, Ohio, still alive here tonight. As far as I know, at least one of them is. The other one may have passed away recently. And they often get together due to treating people. They acquire that much energy, excess energy, that they tie their legs with a copper wire to a stake in the ground to bleed that extra energy off. We hear a lot about removing blockages. Radionics is a new name, a new word for us today, which is also known as the black box or certain other names that it might go by. We have words like kinesiology and reflexology and acupuncture. We have words like yin and yang, which refer directly to a male and female god. I'll probably give some more information on that tomorrow night. We have words like earth balance and Mother Earth. We hear much about trying to be in harmony with Mother Earth. And so the question we simply ask tonight is, where is all this going? Where does it come from? What does it mean? And what effect does it have in our lives if we implicate ourselves to any of these practitioners or herb doctors or chiropractors who went back to school and brought this, went for more education, and now he hardly touches you, but holds his hands just above you and has a very mysterious touch that is supposed to do it all. You know, all these things are going on around us, and of course the question is, again, what is this thing all about? And for tonight's session, I would like to spend most of my time in the Bible. And I'm going to lay a foundation from the Scripture to show you that this is in direct contrast, direct opposition to the Word of God. God had His plan, just like in the Garden of Eden. We're there all over again. God had His plan, the devil has his. And there is a lot of things duplicated. You're going to know what's good and evil. And Satan is still saying the same thing. And they did. There's some truth to what he said, what Satan said there. Adam and Eve did get to know the difference between good and evil when they fell. And so we can't, you know, it's these half-truths that are deceptive that lead people astray and, of course, have them follow him and make contact with him. And it's sad to say that today that there's so little discernment, I think, in our world today that simply, it seems like a lot of people are not understanding the Bible or not reading it enough or getting wisdom from it, because a lot of these things are explained in the Scripture. All right, we'd like to turn tonight to Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, for our first portion of Scripture, and we have quite a few that we just want to talk about here. And build our foundation on truth. We don't only want to speak about things that are wrong, but of course here a number of things are exposed for their wrong, and we want to do the same. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, when thou art come, spoken to Israel, while they were still in the wilderness, before they had gotten over into the land of Canaan, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. One of the sad things in the Old Testament, of course, we have God not being evangelistic like he was in the New, trying to win people to himself. But many times the people had corrupted themselves so deeply in the heathen world that God really wanted them wiped off the face of the earth because they were so contaminated in the depths of sin. And that's what we have here. And the warning is to Israel. Now, when you get over there and you get around some of these people and you become friends with them and interact with them, I don't want you to learn their ways. If you're going to learn their ways, you know, it's for this reason that I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And he's saying here, because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And I don't want you to have anything to do with that. And therefore, I'm asking you to keep clean and separate from all those things. So, we want to look at these tonight as we go through Scripture and just explain them a little bit. The first one here is the word, is the matter of passing through a fire, making a son and a daughter pass through the fire. Now, nowhere in the Bible is it explained what clearly that was. It's a heathen practice that I believe is actually in existence yet among some of the backwoods tribes of Africa and South America, and maybe in Asia likewise, but they had this certain procedure that they would take a son or a daughter to pass through the fire, and it is at least believed that in some cases the child was offered up to God. Now, we have Manasseh, the king of Israel, actually having the worst king there ever was as far as slipping into idolatry and apostasy, worse than any other king. King Manasseh made his sons and daughters, or at least his sons, to pass through the fire. But we don't have much description of what that was. The second one is the one divination. Now that one is very, very interesting because that leads all the way down to our time and our day, and we're able to identify it very easily. The word divination, this is an attempt to find out information with the use of special powers. It's not wrong for us to learn things about nature through the study of God's laws or God's word. We are curious creatures and we want to know what makes things tick and what makes things work. And through the study of science, many of those things are available to us. Lightning has been studied out and figured out, and thunder, where the noise comes from, and some of those things are good. How an airplane flies by the law of aerodynamics, that's been a wonderful thing as far as travel across the world in our day, but it is wrong to divine through the use of special objects or rituals. Through the years, people have read information from crystal balls, looking into a crystal ball, and trying to read. Witches have done this for thousands of years. That's the witch at Endor that Solomon went to. I believe she looked into a ball of some kind and divined unto Solomon the words that she gave him. Of course, Samuel was sent up by God there to speak to him, and I won't go into the story. But we have We have the palms of hands used, where there is today palm reading and certain designs, and the way your hand is made determines whether you can smell for water or do dowsing or water witching, as it's known. It's also people's fortune is told by the palms of their hands. We have tea leaves, and I don't know how that is exactly done. We have the reading of the eyes, which is supposed to manifest everything that's wrong with you and lay its finger exactly on where your problem is, called iridology. We have the liver of a dead animal or other body parts that anciently, thousands of years ago in the Bible, we'll have that scripture a little later on, where they actually looked into the liver in order to divine whether they should go here or go there or do this, maybe fight a battle or not fight a battle. That's very interesting. Just about a month ago or so, I picked up the Intelligence Journal here in from Lancaster, our very city, and I think it was either there or maybe in the USA Today, if I might have glanced at that, occasionally run into that where I glance at it, but here it gave the story that a man is now doing fortune telling or declaring the weather in the future by looking into the entrails of dead animals. It's amazing. Here we are, you know, about 3,000 years later or 2,700 years later from this is written in the Bible, and we have never heard of such a thing. And all at once, sure enough, here we are again having men looking into the liver to determine whether they should fight a battle or not fight a battle. And that is what divination is. So let me explain that. Divination is to learn the unknown, to try the things that you are not supposed to normally know, like where's gold, where's silver? My child lost itself in the cornfield. Where is it? Or in the woods somewhere. Where is water? How many children am I going to have? Who am I going to marry? That is where the art of divination is used, to try to learn or to find out the unknown. And that is strictly forbidden in the Word of God. That it says here, thou shalt not be found among you any that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination. Nobody should touch any of the arts or any of these practices that try to learn to know something that is not normally known. Now, it's amazing how people excuse it today all over the place. Well, it's the electricity in your body, and somehow that makes connection, you know, with where the water is and how you, so that you can tell not only how deep the water is, but how much gallonage is there. Amazing, isn't it? I usually say it's interesting to me that you normally put a stake in the ground about 8 feet to stop the flow of all electricity. If everywhere you go into a building where there's electric, you will find a stake in the ground which stops all flow of electrons. So the earth is a stopping of electron flow. How can you, and that's 240 volts, how can you, with less than one volt in your body, or only about, what is it, 8 millivolts, thousandths of a volt in our bodies, find water 100 feet down in the earth, which stops the flow of electricity, and then tell the people it's the electric in your body? Doesn't make sense. But the serious use of divination that has come into our time and day is that of divining rods, or a divining branch, or a forked stick, or a pair of pliers, or copper rods. And we walk over looking for oil or gas or water or whatever we want to look for. And when we do, we hold these rods out and they cross over and indicate that there's what we're looking for. Diviners look for lost children, look for lost objects. It's amazing also when you talk about electricity being the source of it, we argue against that because they now open up a U.S. map or a state map or maybe a county map, and they again divine with their rods over the map to find out where minerals or oil or gas is or something like that. This is a curious art spoken unto us in the book of Acts, chapter 19, when the revival in Ephesus took place. They brought all their books and curious arts. Divination is a curious art. And those who dabble in it are dabbling in Satan's territory, not in God's, and they're going to have consequences of it. Now, I'll hope to go over some of those consequences, but you have divination with other things too. A ring, a fingernail clipper, and like I said, a branch of a tree, often a fork in a peach tree is used for water witching, and a forked object to locate water, oil, or lost articles, and many other objects. The second one we have is an observer of times, where we're using the moon, the stars, to determine how and when to do certain things, what kind of personality one has, or what will happen in the future. This is using astrology, or the signs of astrology, to try to determine what my personality is by the time of the month in which I was born. My grandmother enforced very strictly that we plant our clover and timothy and other grasses or various crops by the signs of the moon. She was an observer of times and insisted to my father, who was working for them when he was first married before he started farming himself, that she must plant he had to plant the crops according to her divination there, or her being an observer of times using the German calendar. The German calendar has all that in it, and those that are involved in it, of course, that's why they distribute it here in the local Amish bookstores, Mennonite bookstores, some, and some other places likewise, and men and women still use that today. That's what an observer of time is. Astrology and horoscopes would fall under this category to be an observer of times. If I was born in this month or this part of the month, then I'm this kind of a person, this kind of a personality. Those things are not right. We are not to have any parts of that. And the next one is called an enchanter, one who uses rituals to accomplish things that cannot be done otherwise, or to divine what is unknown. Some would say the powwowing, and that is an interesting word. The actual word powwowing comes from the Indians. There are certain Indians here in the East, when the Germans came over in the English from Europe, the Germans, of course, had the practice of Brahe, which is, and the Indians had the practice of powwowing. When they compared notes as to how they do the thing, it was so similar that the Amish or German and Mennonite people who had the experience of Brahen or Brahe, the Indians said, well, it's powwowing, so it's the same as what we call powwowing, so therefore you have the interchangeable words Brahe, powwowing today. But they were actually not from the same origin, other than, yes, down in the roots of Satanism and the occult, but the one came from heathenism, wherever the Indians came from when they were here in the United States. The other came out of Europe, from our ancestry, and yet was very similar. That would be an enchanter, and by that I mean making strange noises, not touching the patient, holding their hands up above them and making these noises to try to pull the pain or to heal the body or to, oh, there were just numerous things, get rid of warts and so on. The next one is a witch, a sorcerer of any kind. In the Hebrew, this is a broad term used for any man or woman who has special powers that are not of God. This means having the ability to do good or evil. They'll say a white witch or a black witch. A white witch does good and a black witch does evil. Both are evil. There's no such thing as a white witch or a good witch, even though some may do worse than others with their witchcraft, Nevertheless, there is no such thing as both, or that one being good and the other. But what they mean here is that following natural laws or through means ordained, these powers include enchantment, the ability to practice magic, and I'm not talking about sleight of hand, to just that the people don't see what you actually did, the ability to cast spells, the ability to read another's mind, the ability to alleviate pain or sickness, or a lot of that is in Ohio and Indiana and Illinois, where they draw sickness out of a child and claim, many, many women claim to have the power to be able to draw pain. The ability to charge objects with special power, the ability either to do or to divine through the use of special objects. That's amazing. If you would go to a foreign country like Haiti and you have contact there with the witch doctors, you find out how they practice those very things in the utmost of their heathenism. A charmer is one who uses spells or charms, good luck charms, hex signs, pendulums, a watch or a weight of some kind on a string, and various pyramids. We heard a lot in the budget years ago about pyramid power. People were making pyramid stoves here and selling them in Lancaster County that were supposed to reduce a piece of wood to the smallest amount of ash that you've ever heard of. And it even went so far that your garden was supposed to grow a lot better if you would put the pyramid stove in the garden in the spring, or if you put it on the back of your pickup truck, you were supposed to get a lot better gas mileage. It was just totally ridiculous and far-fetched. But that is Egyptian pyramid power and comes straight out of the heathenism of Egypt and other such countries that believe in pyramid power. But you had all that stuff that's come through Lancaster County in my time. One homeopathic doctor, for example, acknowledged that she could not diagnose patients or determine the right medication without wearing a certain charm around her neck. In modern times, charmers often explain their ability to use objects or rituals by saying they have special body magnetism or electricity, and it's not true. It's I believe most of that is the result, even though I believe the body chemistry varies a bit from person to person, but most of that is the result of having contact with an occultic person beforehand. You'll find out if you study this that braha can only be transferred from a man to a woman, to a man to a woman. It has to go from male to female to male. It cannot be passed from man to man. That's been very interesting. And you'll notice other special things like that surround how this is transferred. My sixth one here in this list is a consulter with familiar spirits. Literally, one who seeks counsel from the spirit world. And what they do is, through the power of a witch, or the power, like in the case with Saul, going to the witch of Endor, trying to get her to pull up the spirit of a dead man and consult with the spirit and ask them questions and try to get answers for your life and direction. What do I do? And that's exactly what Saul did. The spirit of God has left me. He doesn't talk to me anymore. And so he comes to the witch of Endor and tries to pull up a dead spirit of an old friend, Samuel, to talk to him. Well, what normally happens, a demon shows up and speaks as being familiar with your family. And therefore, it's called a familiar spirit. It's nothing but a demon. But in the case with Saul, God sent Samuel up to prophesy to Saul that he's going to die. He's going to lose the battle. And that's what he did, and that's what happened. I think the next day or very shortly afterward. But that's a consulter with familiar spirits. Now, it's amazing how many people, when you talk to widows and widowers, that actually long and try to speak to their dead husband or dead wife after the funeral. Oh, you know, they miss them so bad, so they have a desire to talk to them, and they kind of go into kind of a trance-like thing, and then they claim they see them and are able to talk to them, or they come back into their bedroom at night and have a little conversation. That's not the spirit of the dead person. That's a demon that comes up. It's a familiar spirit that impersonates the wife or the husband. That's a familiar spirit. All right. And in they do it to gain information or insight of life. It's, again, trying to divine. What shall I do? Shall I sell the house? Shall I do this? Shall I marry the next man who's coming asking for me? Or, you know, crazy things like that. Okay, the next one is wizard. The Hebrew word literally means a knowing one. So this refers especially to one who has powers or who uses objects to divine or to gain information. And the last one is necromancer. A necromancer is one who seeks counsel from or makes contact with the dead. Now, you might be shocked to find out that the entire Hutterite religion in North America and Canada is based on an experience of necromancy, where the leader or the bishop or overseer of the church, a man by the name of Mike Waldner, went over to Europe and he had contact there with his dead dad. In fact, when he left the train to go visit some other Hutterites to try to get them to move to North Dakota, his dead dad, he fell and banged his head on a rock and was all bloody and all that. His dead dad picked him up, showed up there, picked him up, carried his coat, and took him across the field to the farmhouse. When they opened the door and the people came out and welcomed Mike in, all bloody and blood running down over, says, "What happened to you, you know?" All at once, his coat was lying across a chair, and he never carried it or put it there, and his dead father disappeared. He had contact with a dead person. And when you investigate Mike Waldner's life, first of all, that is necromancy. He was involved in witchcraft. He must have been. Other than that, he would not have had his dead dad show up. Furthermore, his dead dad didn't show up. It was a demon. And somewhere, Mike had contact with witchcraft that allowed that incident to happen. You and I who are walking with God will not have contact or experiences like that, because it's not of God. We are not to have contact with dead people or to have conversations with them. And I think Mike might have asked him a question or two on the way over also. But what happened was Mike had other visions that declared the Hutterite church as being the ark of God. And so to this day, the old grandmas in Alberta will say, "You're not a Christian because you're not in the ark." The only people that will be saved, who got saved in the old ark? Just Noah and his children. That's all that's going to be saved now. It's just the people in the ark, so you better join the colony or you'll never get to heaven. They believe that with all their heart. Dear old people, plainly dressed, love their children, decent people in many ways, nice to be around, friendly, hospitable, but they are deceived by necromancy in their great-grandfather in the late 1800s. Who had contact with a dead spirit, with a dead demon, or with a demon, who he thought and got information and was deceived by him. And to this day, they believe the colony is the ark. All right, let us turn to some other scriptures. 2 Kings 23:24. "Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book of Hilkiah the priest, found in the house of the Lord." Josiah was the son of Manasseh. Manasseh was a grandson. Is it grandson? Son. I'm not sure now. It's either his son or his grandson. I think maybe it was his grandson. But Josiah, Manasseh was the most wicked king there ever was in Israel. The Bible says no king ever committed more idolatry and did more wickedness than Manasseh. Even though he changed his heart, changed his mind at the end of his life, repented, tore down the idols, and it looks like he died a righteous man. But his grandson Josiah went through the land to cleanse the land from Manasseh having bring all the idolatry into the temple, and he had the temple of God polluted with idols. And Josiah went in there, and he hacked them to pieces, and he stomped them, and he crushed them, and he threw them out the door, and he cleansed the temple, and he brought the priests back in, and brought in godly worship again, and all that. And here it says, the workers with familiar spirits, wizards, images, idols, abominations that were spied in the land of Judah, Josiah put away. And that shows again that God will not have a mixture of these two. If you're involved in witchcraft or in the occult, many times people are involved innocently, but they are guilty before God and will not have God's power and God's blessing upon their life. 2 Chronicles 33:3. Let's see, 33:6, I'm sorry. This is speaking about Manasseh. He caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Himnon. Also, he observed times. He was an astrologer or involved in the signs of Zodiac and a horoscope. He used enchantments. He used witchcraft. And dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards that he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 8 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 9-9. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 8-8. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 7-7. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.